Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world, foo followers everywhere. Welcome to episode 19 of the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast. My name is Ben Johnson. Thanks for joining me. Log on to www.kungfumovieguide.com to read the latest martial arts movie reviews. And also keep up to date with us on Twitter. The Twitter handle is KF Movie Guide. We are also on Facebook and Instagram. And you can send me an email on hello@kungfumovieguide.com. Thank you very much. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. Here we go.
Well, if you're really so determined to have a fight, then I'll oblige.
Well, 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 hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world, foo followers everywhere. Thank you so much for joining me for episode 19 of the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast. We've got a great show for you today with the most in-demand fight choreographer of the moment. It's Tim Mann. Tim Mann is on the show today. That's really exciting. I'll talk more about that in a moment. I just wanted to check everyone had caught up with the Scott Adkins show that came out 2 weeks ago now. I do hope you enjoyed the conversation. I got some really lovely feedback from everyone saying, you know, how much they enjoyed the show. I got some messages from people saying they'd rushed out and bought Scott Adkins' films on DVD and Blu-ray, which was great to see off the back of Scott's passionate words about piracy that seemed to ring a few bells with a few listeners, so that's good to see. And I got a few personal emails off the back of that episode too, which was really nice, and some really lovely tweets. I was actually going to be really indulgent now and just read a few of your comments, if you don't mind, just off the back of the previous episode with Scott Adkins. If you haven't listened to that yet, it's a pretty good episode. It's available everywhere, wherever you get your podcasts, so download it now. Really enjoyed your podcast with Scott Adkins. It was thorough, informative, and highly entertaining. Great work. Subscribed. That was on Twitter. Thank you so much. Nathan Archer. Absolutely love this episode. I did not want it to end. Can't wait for more episodes and guests. I will be buying Boyka next week. That's from Jay Lanero. Thank you very much, Joshua Lanero. This one says, "Welp, I found my new fave podcast." Thank you so much. That's good to see. Scott actually got in touch as well off the back of the episodes. He wrote, "Very good interview, this one. Thanks, Ben." It's very kind of you, Scott. Thank you so much. And thank you for your time and taking the time to be a guest on the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast. That is much appreciated. Listen, we're continuing a sort of Scott Adkins theme on this episode of the podcast, I guess. As we've got a conversation here with Tim Mann. Tim Mann is sort of Scott Adkins' go-to fight choreographer at the moment. He's worked with him 5 times now, I think. They first worked together on the Isaac Florentine film Ninja Shadow of a Tear. That's worth checking out if you haven't seen that one, or just Ninja 2. That was back in 2013. Since then, Tim has worked with Scott on 4 more films, Eliminators, Boyka Undisputed 4. Boyka has just landed on Blu-ray and DVD. It's also now on Netflix in the UK. Log on, check out Boyka Undisputed 4. Tim is also in that film as well, showing his stuff. Accident Man is another film that Tim has worked with Scott on. That's expected later this year. And also Triple Threat. So Tim was the fight choreographer in Triple Threat. That's due to come out next year. He's worked with Isaac Florentine again recently in a film called Stoic, which we mentioned in this interview. That stars Antonio Banderas. His fight choreography for Boyka Undisputed 4 was recently rewarded at the Shanghai Film Festival. That picked up Best Fight Scene, and it also got an award for Best Action Actor for Scott Adkins. So that's great news. Tim is Swedish. He lives in Stockholm. And before all of the movie work, Tim's background is as a taekwondo champion. He's an ex-Swedish taekwondo champ. And he was a stuntman. He worked in Swedish television for a while until he saw the film Ong Bak. That motivated a move to Thailand. And he got to work in a lot of great films when he was over in Thailand, sort of in their heyday off the back of Tony Jaa's success there. He managed to work with Tony Jaa. He worked on Ong Bak 2. He worked on the film Raging Phoenix as well. And the movie Kill 'Em All, that's the Gordon Liu title. He's a pretty incredible fighter. If you don't know Tim's work, the first place I would direct you will be his Instagram page. You need to search for TimMan79. Tim first found fame doing a lot of martial arts tricks and uploading these amazing acrobatic kicks to the internet. So go and check out some of his films that he puts up there on Instagram. He's a humble and very honest guy. You'll hear that comes across in this interview. And he doesn't do too many interviews. He does say that he hates doing interviews. But listening back, I think this was an okay chat. It's always a bit concerning when someone says that they don't like being interviewed just before you do an interview with them. But I think this came out absolutely fine. It didn't take too long for him to open up a little bit. And I do hope you enjoy this conversation. There is a bit of swearing on this episode. I always feel like I have to say that just in case people get offended by swearing. But there you go. If you are offended by that, you have been warned. I'll throw over to my conversation with Tim in a moment. First of all, a little bit of housekeeping. If you do like this show, I would be really grateful if you guys were to log on to iTunes and find the Kung Fu Movie Guide there and just give us a star rating. You don't have to give us a written review. You can do if you want to. Many of you have, and that's a lovely thing. That just helps to boost the podcast within the iTunes ratings and hopefully attract more listeners. And the more listeners we get, the more we can potentially attract advertising into the show, which will then help to fund future episodes of the show, and I can continue to bring you these free long form interviews. So if you like the show, show your support, go onto our iTunes page and help to spread the word of the podcast. Okay, listen, I'm going to throw over to my chat now with Tim. I should say that this interview was done a little while ago. It was before his involvement in Triple Threat. In fact, it's quite interesting that, you know, since this chat, Triple Threat happens, and they have now since filmed that and wrapped that. And the teaser trailer for Triple Threat is already out there on the internet. So that just shows how quickly these films do get turned around. So anyone expecting any information on Triple Threat, you will be disappointed because that isn't mentioned on the show. However, we do go into quite a bit of detail over Accident Man, which is scheduled to come out at some point this year. So that's exciting. And we do talk a lot about Boyka Undisputed 4. I hadn't seen Boyka by this stage, and this interview was recorded before I interviewed Scott as well. So there you go. That's just a little bit of context ahead of the interview. Anyway, I hope you enjoy this conversation that I had with the awesome, very talented martial artist, stuntman and fight choreographer, Tim Mann.
I'm not really a good guy to interview because I never do interviews. I have done some before, you know, but I'm not very keen on it.
Yeah.
But,
do you like, yeah. What, do you just not, is it just the talking about yourself part of it or the...
I think I'm just lazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you been filming today then, have you? Or are you
no,
working on...
I was doing a previs for a project that might happen. So right now I'm not working on anything, actually. I just came back from, I've been away for 4 months or something.
Sure.
So, and my last movie was with Scott Adkins. I've been home since then, so I've been just been taking it easy, you know.
Yeah, that's nice. And what does taking it easy mean? You're home in Stockholm, aren't you? Is that that's where you are at the moment?
Yeah, I'm home. Training. Spending some quality time with my family and stuff.
Sure. So I'm guessing that the movie that you were working on with Scott would have been Accident Man. Is that the film? Yeah. So you're working as a fight choreographer for that movie, or are you in front of the camera as well?
I was a fight choreographer for it, but I was also second unit for some of the scenes as well.
Sure.
And I had a small part in the movie as well. Sure. Just a small, like, a cameo, you know?
Yeah. We're very excited about that film because it's Scott, it's Michael Jai White, I think Ray Park's in there as well, yourself as well. It's quite an incredible cast list.
Yeah, very good cast. They have Amy Johnston as well.
Yeah, of course. So. Yeah. It's based on a comic book, isn't it?
Yeah. I haven't read the comic book, but it's an old comic book, as I was told, mainly in UK, right?
UK comic, yeah. Scott was involved, he wrote the film as well, I think he's got quite
He produced it, and he co-wrote it, and he was a bit, I mean, Jesse was the director, but Scott was also involved a bit with the directing and everything. He had his hands in everything, you know, so it was his dream project. So he was very, you know, it was his baby, you know?
Yeah. What was your brief for that movie? Because obviously, you know, I guess if it's a comic book inspired, there's maybe you can get away with some more outlandish sort of choreography, or is it still quite grounded? Like a lot of your other fight choreography that you've done with Scott?
The fights in themselves are more like, you know, Scott style, martial arts, his style, you know, but it's a bit, since it's it has some humor in it as well, you know.
Okay.
So it's not all serious. I mean, it's about a bunch of hitmen that all of them are like crazy, you know, nobody's good in the movie, you know, so.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a bit of a comic action, martial arts movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a martial arts movie, it's a... What do you say, an action movie?
Sure.
But it has martial arts in it, you know.
Yeah. Are you quite excited about it?
Yeah, I mean, I've edited the fight scenes, so I know the fight scenes will look so, but the movie itself, I'm excited to see the movie, of course.
Yeah. You've worked with Scott quite a bit. I know Eliminators, the latest Boyka film as well. So how do you, as a fight choreographer, just sort of manage to keep, you know, the fight choreography fresh and different every time? I mean, that must be quite a challenge for you, Tim.
What's challenging is that I'm working with Scott Adkins so much, you know, so...
Yeah, that's why is that a challenge?
It's getting harder every time, you know, because if you have a new actor, you know, you can just go, you know what I mean, you can just create something.
Yeah.
But since I've done so many fights with Scott, I have to, you know, keep... taking it to the next level, you know, it's pretty hard to do that with Scott because, I mean, he's done everything, you know, so to find something that's unique, it's pretty hard, and to keep it fresh, and Scott is pretty, you know, you can't just come up with the choreography and show him this is what we're going to do. He's very much involved in the fight scenes, you know, so he's a bit picky when it comes to fight scenes.
I guess when you're a fight choreographer, though, you want to try and suit your choreography, I guess, to best show off, you know, the attributes of whoever is performing. I guess, you know, Scott is, I mean, he can do all sorts of things, can't he? I guess is that easier for you, or does that make it harder?
It depends on what kind of movie it is, what kind of a fight scene, and what's the story and everything, you know, but... That's the first thing, you know, it has to fit the story and has to fit the character and everything.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, if it's just a pure martial arts fight and you have Scott Adkins, you can pretty much do whatever you want, you know. I mean, of course, he has a limit like everybody, you know, but it's much easier to do a fight scene and be creative for him than it is to do with a normal actor like Antonio Banderas, for example.
So you're working with Antonio Banderas, aren't you, in the new Isaac Florentine film?
Yes.
So that's a good comparison then, really. So that must test you and your, you know, how to be creative, I guess, to, you know, when you're working with someone like Antonio Banderas, who maybe hasn't got the same you know, physicality in the same range as someone like a Scott Adkins? I mean, how do you approach working with someone like Antonio Banderas?
First off, you have to follow this. I mean, there is a script, you know, there is a character, so it has to suit him, of course. But he's limited because he's, I don't know how old is he, he's 56 years old.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're 56, you're, and he's more of an, he's not a, really, for me, he's not an action actor. He's a proper actor. No, I mean, I'm not saying Scott is not an actor, but he's, you know, drama actor. No,
sure.
Not used to too much fight scenes and stuff. So it was a challenge, but he was really good. To be honest, yeah, I was really impressed by Antonio Banderas. He very good memory, very good in choreography, great guy. You know, and but the challenge was, of course, to make him, you know, look really good.
Yeah.
But it went good. I think people will be a bit shocked when they see him in that movie.
That is a martial arts role for him, then, is it?
There is a lot of fights, and there are martial arts influenced fights, but it's not a pure martial arts movie. Okay. Of course not, because he's not a martial artist. But
yeah. We should say that's called Stoic, isn't it, that movie?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. And Isaac Florentine, obviously, you've worked with him before because you worked with on the Ninja movie. So that must have been nice to sort of familiar ground for you there, I'd imagine.
Yeah. I love working with Isaac.
Now we're even.
With a lot of sort of lower budget action movies, do you get quite a lot of time to prep for these films, Tim? Or what's the process? Is it generally quite a fast turnaround?
There is no prep for these kinds of movies. Yeah. I mean, they send me I usually get the script in advance, you know. And what I do normally is that I choreograph by myself, I mean, on my spare time, you know. And I try to, I mean, I don't do it if it's not a go, but when I know it's a go, you know a bit in advance if it's a go or not. Or sometimes it's not a go because it's the movie business. But anyway, I prepare it by myself, you know, and I choreograph and I try to do some previous work and stuff like that. But when it comes to the actual pre-production, if I'm lucky, I usually get like a week of prep, you know.
Okay.
If I'm lucky too.
Yeah. So. And that's prep just with it, that's not with the actors then, that's just
not really, that's the prep with the actors, and they that's included with creating the fight scenes and everything, you know. But obviously that's impossible to do all, and I mean, it's not impossible, but you have to prepare something before actually coming over and rehearsing with the actors. You know, you have to have something. You can't just come up and show up and okay, we're gonna do like this, and it's gonna be like that, you know,
just wing it. But then all those Hong Kong movies, that's all they did, you know. They just sort of you know, Jackie Chan would just appear on set and just say let's do this.
They had like 2 weeks shooting one fight scene. It's not like that in nowadays, you know. I mean, in those days they shot a fight scene for 2 weeks. That's impossible. I mean, if I'm lucky I get 3 days for a fight scene. It might have happened once or twice.
I remember Scott saying this because it's sort of unfair because people will compare a film like On Back next to something like, you know, Eliminators, say, just for example. Whereas you know you're dealing with, you know, it's apples and oranges, isn't it? You've got On Back, which probably I don't know how long that filming schedule
On Back, I think they prepped it for like On Back 2, they prepped for 2 years or something, you know.
Exactly.
And I was in one of the fight scenes for On Back 2, and they shot that for 1 week, you know, and that was just a short fight, you know.
Yeah.
And
so here's my
that's the difference.
Here's my question then, Tim. Do you think that necessarily makes for a better action movie? You know, sometimes
you can make a good action scene in 1-2 days. I mean, a fight scene, you know, I mean, it depends how well prepped you are. I mean, as a fight choreographer, if you prep the actors, if you're, you know what you're going to shoot. I mean, some directors take over when it's a fight scene instead of letting the fight choreographer do it, you know, and then they just shoot it, they shoot masters, they shoot it wide, and they go in and they try to, you know, pick up the shots they need, and then they try to save it in the editing, you know. And that's not the way how to shoot an action scene or a fight scene. You have to you have to, for me, you have to shoot it the way you want it to look, you know?
Yeah.
If you have 2 weeks for a fight scene, for me, that's like, what the hell are you doing for 2 weeks, you know? Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily equate to a better fight scene.
I don't know. I have never experienced it. If somebody would tell me you have 2 weeks to film this fight, I would be like, what am I going to do the other days? You know?
Yeah.
Maybe I would be done in 2 days and I would be okay.
Sure. Are there some directors that you work with who, you know, have been better than others in that sense? I get this with Isaac Florentine. I get, because he's a martial artist, that there's something about his films and the way he shoots a lot of it on very close up and handheld and a lot of long takes as well. I'd imagine.
Yeah, it is because Isaac Florentine, he understands action. To shoot action, you have to understand action.
Yeah.
I mean, some directors, they don't know what's going on. You know, a punch is a punch, you know. And that often gets the result. If they don't know what's happening, they don't know how to shoot it.
Yeah.
But with Isaac Florentine, he knows. I mean, if he sees a fight, he knows, okay, this is the way. Okay, this is the best. This is how we're going to do it, you know. So it's very simple.
Yeah.
And I think personally that the directors should let the fight choreographer handle the camera.
Yeah,
because they created it, so they know best.
I mean, how much say do you actually have with regards to that? Once you've done the fight choreography to the best, and then the directors captured it and they say cut. Do you have can you go into the editing booth? Do you have much of a say in the way that's directed, or do you very much, once your job there is done, it's like, you know, that's your job done, really?
It depends on the production, but the last years I've been working, I've been pretty much in charge of the camera when we do fight scenes.
Cool.
And often I step in and I do a first cut of the editing as well. So, I mean, it depends. I usually try to talk. I mean, if somebody wants me to do the fight choreography for a movie, I mean, it depends how big movie, how big of a picture it is, you know. But I always tell them that, okay, if I'm going to do it, I want to handle the camera as well.
Yeah,
and I want to do a first cut, and lately they have all said sure, you know.
Yeah.
So it's good.
What sort of inspires you? Like, do you think do you go back to some, you know, movies that you like and fight scenes that you like, and you think, oh, for this I think it'll be great to, you know, go along this route?
It depends. I mean, sometimes I think. In the beginning, I was watching a lot of other stuff. I mean, what people have done, just to get inspiration and see. Maybe I look at that movie. Oh, that was cool, and maybe I should try to go in this direction. But that was just in the beginning when I started to do fight choreography. Nowadays, no, I think I'm not trying to watch what other is doing. Actually, to be honest, I mean, sometimes you get like. You need some inspiration. You have to go on YouTube and just check some stuff just to get some inspiration. But yeah, I don't think I'm doing that much anymore. I mean, it happens, of course. I'm not saying I'm a genius or something, but I'm trying not to watch what others have done. You know, I don't like to. I try to keep it my way.
Yeah. Well, it seems to be working anyway. So, you know, whatever the, you know, whatever that is, it's, you know, it's creating some great movies. I mean, do you think, you know, you see a lot of the big budget Hollywood movies in the way that they do their fight scenes. And you're right, there's a lot of cutting in between, isn't there? And they get a lot of coverage during the fight scene. Is that because it's a lower budget and, you know, when you're making these movies, you can get away with these really great long one take action scenes?
No, the lower budget the movie is, the less restricted it is. You know, I mean, the bigger budget, the more people has a say, you know. So it's, I mean, for some of the big movies, let's see, and I can't find a movie now, but when you say they cut a lot and it's very rough and they cover it and everything, it's not the fight choreographers or it's so many people who wants to be involved in that, you know. So you can't, as a fight choreographer, you can't control as much as you can on a lower budget movie.
Horse fist.
I started as a stunt performer and I just wanted to do stunts, you know, and then after a while I figured I want to do acting, but I suck at acting, so I couldn't go so far in that. And then I wanted to do stunt coordination, you know, but I still do it sometimes, you know, but stunt coordination is more like managing people and making sure everything is safe, checking locations, making sure that's secure, getting the equipment and everything. So that became a bit like, oh man, this is not creative for me, you know. And then I discovered fight choreography, and that was just like, ah, this is it. This is what I'm going to do. I mean, you can be creative and you're involved with the whole process and everything, you know. So for me, that's, yeah. And of course, my goal is to be second unit director, you know. And I just did Accident Man with Scott Atkins, and they gave me second unit on some of the scenes. So it was cool.
Let's go back a little bit first, Tim. So you were born in Sweden, weren't you?
Yeah.
And am I right in thinking, so you've got a Swedish mother and your dad is from Hong Kong?
Yeah.
You watched a lot of Hong Kong movies growing up, but I guess you know, and living in Sweden as well. What was your childhood like?
My childhood?
Yeah.
It was boring. No, I don't know. My childhood? I don't know. I was just a kid doing nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I started training martial arts when I was 6 years old, so martial arts has always been a passion for me, you know, and I was always watching movies, fighting movies, you know, and dreaming of being in the movies.
Can you remember what were those movies you were watching when you were a kid? What were the titles that, you know, really stood out that you really liked?
I mean, I watched all the Bruce Lee movies. Sure. I think I stayed home from school for 1 week just rewatching all the Bruce Lee movies. Jackie Chan, and, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme was also a big guy that I liked when I was younger, you know, so.
Yeah. Were you looking at them just like, oh, this is really cool? Or were you thinking, you know, I'd love to do that? And like, were you replicating a lot of the moves? Because you said you started martial arts when you were quite small.
Yeah, of course. I wanted to go to beat people like them, you know, when I was a kid, you know. I wanted to do a jump spinning split kick in the face, you know, on competitions and stuff.
But what was Sweden like, though? I mean, this was in Malmo, was it?
Yeah, I was born in Malmo, but then I moved to a smaller town called Linköping.
Okay, So Sweden and the martial arts, I mean, did you have a martial arts school nearby? I think you do taekwondo was your first sort of major discipline, is that right?
I started with judo as a kid because they didn't take in young kids kicking and stuff, because then you would go and beat people in the school, they were thinking. So judo was the only thing that I was allowed to train when I was that young. But then I met a Vietnamese guy who was a taekwondo instructor and a Viet Vo Dao instructor. Yeah. And he took me in when I was 8, I believe, or something. So he didn't care. He just do the kicks here and do like this, and this is the way you're gonna knock somebody. You gotta knock him. I was like, fucking hell yeah, man.
So were you sparring at this time then, or was that something that came later, or you were learning in order to get in the ring and to compete? Then that was your drive, was it?
I just wanted to beat people. No, I just wanted to learn how to fight. You know, I mean, when you're a kid, you don't understand anything. You just want to. You know, you don't understand what happens if you punch somebody in the face, you know. I just wanted to be badass.
And where you were growing up, was there a lot of kids your age that were into martial arts? And was that something that was very much in the culture?
No. I mean, when I started, it must have been in the 80s, right? So it was like a martial art bomb here in Sweden, so most of the young guys were doing some kind of, I mean, you know, like 14 years old or something, were doing martial arts. And I was training. I think I was the only kid who was training with the bigger guys.
Sure. Okay. Training is in? You were sparring with the bigger guys?
Yeah, obviously I couldn't spar with them. They would beat the shit out of me. Okay. I was only a little kid, you know, but I tried to spar, you know.
But weren't you a taekwondo champion though from quite a young age, weren't you, Tim? Did you once you started competing, you were, you know, winning trophies and that sort of thing?
I was a Swedish champion 3 times, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, fun.
So were you just fearless then? I guess you must have been to even just sort of step in. Because I think there's one thing, people start martial arts for different reasons, don't they, I guess, whether it's the self-defense or maybe they just go into it for a fitness thing. But I guess, you know, you must have got the bug for, you know, competing, and then the more you were winning, is that what spurred you on? And then you were,
No, not really. I mean, I just competed because my teacher made me compete, you know. I didn't really like it, but I did it anyway. I don't know why I did it, you know. I just wanted to train and you know, get good, you know. Like, I wanted to be the best, you know.
Yeah.
I think I was a bit brainwashed when I was a kid, you know. I thought I was living in a movie or something, you know. I wanted to be like, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme kicking the tree, you know, and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah. In kickboxer.
Yeah.
So how were you at school then? Were you academically, were you quite into high school, or was that you were totally focused on, you know, your training and martial arts? That was your main drive.
When I started in high school, I was still good in school, but all my focus was on the martial arts. I was training all the time. Even on my, if I had a lunch break, I went to the dojo and trained, you know, and then came back to school, and then after school I went to train, you know, and before school I sometimes went to train, you know. I was a bit brainwashed, you know.
Right. You were just totally obsessed with martial arts.
Yeah.
What were your parents thinking? Did they just see that you were just really into it and they were very supportive?
They were not supportive. I don't think they understood what I did, but I think they knew that I was training, you know, so that's better than being out on the streets and making trouble, you know. So I think they felt that it was good that I was spending my time at the gym.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
T-Hal, you're supposed to be a professional killer. He's posing as a woodcutter to fool you. Don't you know that?
You're a pugilist.
So I believe you were in like a musical, or you got spotted somewhere and then somehow gravitated towards stunts and films. I mean, were you always, when you were training, you were thinking, you know, I want to be like Van Damme and I want to eventually be, you know, in movies. This is my goal. This is where I want to go with this.
Yeah, I think I wanted, I mean, I think at an early age already, I wanted to be in the movies because I don't know. I always felt like, yeah, I'm going to work in movies.
Yeah.
It was no question about it, you know. Yeah. I was recording my own movies when I got my first DV cam and stuff, you know. So,
when you started working in stunts, because you worked in Swedish television first, is that right? You were on a lot of TV shows and things in Sweden doing stunt work?
In Swedish movies and television and motion capture and commercials. Yeah, I did stunt work. Yeah, the reason for me to start the stunt work was because I wanted to be in the movies and fight in front of the screen, you know.
Yeah,
but that's not really. I mean, of course, that's a part of the stunt work, you know. But stunt work, I mean. Stunt work is mostly about either you stunt double somebody or you're prepping action scenes or you're in the scene just a short amount of time. And if you're lucky, you might get a, ch- a chance to fight the main or something, you know.
Sure.
That's pretty much it. If you want to be in front of the camera, you have to be an actor, you know.
So yeah.
That's when I was like, hell, I'm not gonna be an actor, you know. So yeah. I tried that, you know. I mean, I got some fight parts, but that's it, you know.
Mm. Did you enjoy being on set then?
Yeah, I still love it.
Yeah. Okay, so the turning point for you was what? Was it when Ombat came out? Did you then see that movie and were like, you know, this is where it's happening. It's all, you know, it's all kicking off over in Thailand. That's where I need to be if I'm going to make it as this martial arts movie star. Was that the catalyst?
No, it was more. I was working on a stunt company in Sweden, and then I just heard. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I was 20 or something. I don't know how old I was. Anyway, I heard somebody told me Ong Bak 2 is gonna make a casting in Thailand, but that was just a false rumor, I think. Because then I went with two friends. And we were like, let's go to Thailand. They're casting for Ong Bak 2, and we went there, and then we stayed there for 2 years or something, just working in Thailand, and we got and we searched the whole Thailand to find this Ong Bak 2 casting, you know, but there was no casting. It was just a rumor, you know. But after a while, a real casting came out for Ong Bak 2, and we made it to that one.
So it was a false rumor that got you over there, but then eventually, when you were there, you did actually get a part in the film.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Yeah,
that was pretty cool, actually.
So what happened to your friends? So the friends that you went over with, were they people that you knew in Sweden? They were friends that you trained with?
Yeah, we trained together. Like, they wanted to, they were not really in, I was already working in the stunts industry in Sweden. Yeah. They were trying to get in, so I was training with them. And they were not bad, they were good, you know, but they just never got the chance because, I mean, the stunt community can be a bit locked sometimes, you know, they don't just take anyone in, you know, you have to work your way in, you know.
Yeah.
It's a process, you know. So.
Yeah. But did you know, you must have known that you had something special, or else you wouldn't have made that journey. It's quite a leap to just say, oh, you know, let's travel, you know, halfway around the world to try and make it. Did you know that you had something that, you know, they would want?
No, I just wanted to get beaten by Tony Jaa, you know.
Could you do, at this stage, you were doing the martial arts tricks, you know, the videos with the, through, you were uploading your own videos, weren't you? So you were making a bit of a name for yourself on the internet. You still do these videos as well, don't you? Because I follow you on Instagram and you do these incredible kicks.
Yeah, I post videos on Instagram, That actually helped me to get to Ong Bak, you know, because when
I'm not surprised.
When I came there, they already knew me. They were like, yeah, it's you from, because it was a web site before called Bilang, Bilang.com. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
And they were watching Bilang all the time, you know. So they were like, yeah, it's you. You're from Bilang, you know. So absolutely, yeah. So that helped me, actually, you know. So.
Wow. Yeah. But you were posting, because you do it even now, like some of the most incredible, like, kicking combinations, which even slow down. It's like, how on earth are you doing these things? So how did you train yourself to be able to do those kicks?
Repetition.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how to answer that question. I mean, you have to train, you know. I mean, that's, I get a lot of questions from people. How can you do like that? How can you do the splits? And it's just common sense, you know. You just have to, if you want to be good at something, you have to practice it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do it just 10 times, you know. You have to do it many, many, many times and until you get good, you know.
Yeah.
And that's, people are looking for a shortcut, like, so how do you do it? And it's normal. I mean, how do you make the splits? You stretch. If you want to make the splits, you just practice the splits, you know. There's no magic pill, you know, that you can take and then bap, you have the splits, you know. I mean, sometimes people are, I wouldn't say stupid, but they already know the answer, and yet they ask for an answer, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think what happens is that they see the films and they think, particularly Tony Jaa, because it seems like he came out of nowhere with Ong Bak, and he was so, you know, spectacular in his kicks. And but I mean, when you actually read about Tony Jaa, you know, he'd been doing it since, you know, since he was a kid. He was a stunt performer beforehand. Like, you know, it's, I think people, you're right, people just see this stuff and instantly, you know, want to be able to do that, don't they, really?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get good at something, you have to put the hours, you know? I mean, some people are really talented and they don't need to put as much as somebody else, you know? I mean, it depends on your talent, you know?
Roughly how much do you train then, Tim?
I train every day almost, I think. I mean, sometimes I train a lot, sometimes I train still a lot, but not as much as I'm training otherwise, you know? I mean, before, like, at the one point, I trained like 3 times a day, you know?
Sure.
And right now, maybe I'm training. I mean, since I got back, I've probably been training 1 to 2 times a day, you know? And sometimes I'm not training at all, you know? I mean, it depends. You know? No, I'm not as young as I was before, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm still training every day, you know?
You can still do these amazing tricks, though, and amazing skills. Are you finding it harder to do this stuff, or is it still just comes quite naturally to you?
I think I train smarter now than I did before. Before, I could, like put hours.
Yeah.
I mean, hours to train. I mean, for one session, I could go for hours, you know. And now I'm just trying to be smart when I train and not overdoing it, you know. And of course, I can't train like when I was 18, you know. I mean, I still do the flips and the more advanced kicks, you know, but not as much as I did before, you know. I do more like judo, grappling, some submission, and boxing, and of course the kicks, you know, but not as much gymnastics stuff like I did before. I still do them, you know, but not as often, you know.
Xiaoping! Master! You want to kill me? You killed my father, and for that, I've got to kill you.
Okay, so they spotted you from this website, and you, before you knew it, you were over in Thailand. There's a few good Bangkok Adrenaline. I love that movie. That's really good with Daniel O'Neill. I've actually interviewed Daniel O'Neill for this podcast, and he's a sweet guy. Just your overall experience about filming in Thailand. How did you find that compared to what you were used to, you know, in Sweden? It must have been a very different, you know, environment.
Yeah, I mean, a film set is a film set, but I think the difference is, but if I compare Sweden to Thailand, is that Sweden is really organized. You know, everything is, if you're gonna do it on that day, we're gonna do it on that day, and everything is clear. You know, if you're gonna do it in Thailand, you show up on set, and maybe you won't do anything that day, you know. I mean, there's no organization. They can say, okay, on Monday we're going to do that, and then Monday comes, you have no phone call or anything, you know, and then it's like, no, the movie's not going to happen. And you're like, okay, nobody told me.
I wonder, the movie wasn't even going to be a film anymore.
That still happens today with, you know, productions. I mean, the production gets cancelled all the time, you know.
That must be frustrating.
Yeah, well... Yeah, it depends. Yeah. I mean, I'm not really into the acting part anymore, so I don't really get upset if that happens, you know?
I mean, Bangkok Adrenaline, particularly the last stretch of that film where it's just action packed. It's pretty intense. And you can kind of see, I mean, they must be quite fun environments to have been working on, and just to be crafting all of those fight sequences. I mean, that must have been quite exciting, I'd imagine.
On Bangkok Adrenaline.
Yeah.
I think that movie was a big mess, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it took forever, that movie. I think they shot that over 1 year, that movie, you know? So,
wow, really? Yeah. Do you not like that movie?
The finished product?
Yeah.
No. I don't like it. I think it's crap. I think it's shit. I mean, it's good for a low budget. I mean, it's a really, really, really low budget movie, you know?
Yeah.
It's still a crap movie for me. I mean,
sure.
I'm sorry, I worked on it. I like the guys who's in it, and I know the director, but I'm honest, it's not a good movie, you know?
Yeah, that's fair enough. Did you like, you worked with Jija Yanin as well, didn't you, for Raging Phoenix?
Yeah, very briefly. I broke my ankle on that movie, so they swapped me. Maybe you can see it. If you look closely in the movie, you see me, you know, having my... my trousers and the jacket and everything, you know.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden I disappear, and then another guy steps in and he's shaved and he has my clothes, you know. It's like, what the hell is that? How did they switch us like that? You know, yeah. It's pretty stupid. You know, they should just cut me out. You know?
Sure. Didn't they say that you might not be able to work again or something? Did that happen when you broke your ankle?
Not really. They told me I should be lucky if I could walk properly when I broke my ankle. So yeah. But I'm good.
Yeah, you seem to have recovered quite well.
Yeah.
Let's talk a bit about Ong Bak too then. So were you just working with Tony Jaa? I mean, that must have been quite an incredible experience, and to have been on that film set as well. There was a lot of reports obviously about how that was quite a stressful sort of situation, I think, for Tony Jaa, because he was directing the film as well, and there were, you know, rumors of that the production wasn't going so well, and then I think he went off the set for a little while. I mean, how closely involved were you know, in the film to see all of that?
I was only there for the fight scenes and the prep for that fight scene. So I was there for 2 weeks and I didn't notice anything. They had all the time in the world, you know. But the thing is with that movie, I mean, I was supposed to shoot that fight scene like maybe half year before we actually shot it, you know. I mean, that production was a mess, you know, very badly organized. But he looked good when I worked with him, you know. So
yeah. He seems like it's what's he like on a film set then? It looks like he hits you pretty hard. I mean, I'm guessing he's the real deal, is he? When you're fighting with him?
Yeah, he's hard. I mean, I think he had a lot of pressure on himself, you know. So I mean, because they did Ong Bak, right? And then they did Tom Yong Kung and he was beating people. So he had to live up to the expectations, so he has to, I mean, give the audience what they want, you know. But I don't think he's like that today, you know. I think he's realized he don't need to beat people up for real, you know. But he was going a bit berserk on Ong Bak too. He was, I mean, in Ong Bak and Tom Yong Kung, he was just beating people in the chest and kicking the heart in the legs and stuff, you know. But in Ong Bak too, he was going for the head sometimes on people, you know. I saw him knock out 3 guys or something, you know. So it was a bit mental.
Yeah. And even when you watch it, because I know they split the 2 and 3, there's 2 different parts to the film. It didn't quite work, did it, Tim? I don't know what your thoughts are on the results of that film.
I thought the fight scenes for Ong Bak 2 was really good.
Very
good,
you
know? But the movie was crap, you know. And number 3, I turned it off, you know. I mean, I fast forward for the fight scenes, but I didn't really watch. I didn't understand what's going on, you know.
So
I think both of those movies were really shit, but the action sequences was really good, you know.
Yeah. To then work in the Street Fighter, the Chun-Li movie, I mean, that how did that come about? Was that just your audition for that?
Yeah, I auditioned for it. I mean, I wanted to be in the stunt team, but then something happened. I don't know what happened, and I came into the audition for the acting instead. And I was like, no, I want to be in the stunt team, you know. And then the director, he looked at me and said, I want you to try for this part. And I did it, and I got the part, but I was really upset because I wanted to be in the stunt team. I didn't want to be an actor, you know. But yeah, that's how it went, you know.
So do you not like acting then? You don't like being...
Yeah, I like acting, but I mean, at that, I don't know how old I was there, but I wanted to do action, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if they would offer me today, I would be, hell yeah. Just acting, sure, no problem.
Okay.
But when I was a bit younger, you know, you want to prove yourself, you want to show. I mean, I was like, yeah, I want to do fighting.
Yeah.
I want to do stunts, you know. I want to get slammed, you know what I mean?
Yeah. During all this time, you must have been, you know, accumulating this wealth of knowledge, because you were working with some really good stunt guys, some really good fight choreographers as well. You didn't ever want to, you know, make it as an actor then and try and push it to be like a leading man or something.
Yeah, I wanted to be an actor, but I wanted to be a, you know, fighting actor.
Yeah.
You know? I didn't want to be a pure actor. You know?
Yeah.
So I mean, it's easier in Asia. You can be an action actor, you know, but it's, if you just want to do stunts and fighting, it's better to be in the stunts, you know.
You've worked with so many of your, I'd imagine, like your idols, or at least your contemporaries and people that you know, are big within the martial arts film genre. Who are the people then that really stick out in your minds that you've worked with that have been really decent people and really nice and really helpful as well in sort of you finding your way as a fight choreographer and as an actor? Who are the people that you've worked with that really stand out in your opinion?
I mean, I think everybody I worked with has been an influence. I mean, you learn everything by being on a movie set. You learn by the stunt buddies you have, you know. You learn from the stunt coordinator, you learn from the director. I mean, if you're smart and you want to get somewhere in the industry, you have to be aware. I mean, look at what people is doing and try to take that in, you know, and just be curious, you know.
Yeah.
If I have somebody special that that helped me, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I had anybody that told me, yeah, do like this and think about this and do, you know. I don't think I had that. I think I just learned by being on set, you know.
So what was Joe Lewis like? Joe Lewis must have been interesting to work with him, because I know you worked on Kill 'Em All, didn't you? You worked with Gordon Liu on that movie as well. So were they, I mean, they're both legends in their own right, really, aren't they? So, I mean, first of all, Gordon Liu, that must have, I don't know, you must have watched, obviously, a lot of the old Shaw Brothers movies growing up, and you must have loved, you know, watching Gordon Liu in 36 Chamber and all the Shaolin movies, and you know, to meet and to work with him, what was that experience like?
I was actually choreographing Gordon Liu, so
yeah.
I was nervous as hell, because I was like, what the hell am I gonna choreograph for him? He's gonna think I'm a dickhead. I'm a young guy and he's old, and I mean he's been a big inspiration. I was really scared to come to the first day of rehearsal to show him the fight. I was like, oh, he's gonna hate it, he's not gonna like this, oh shit, it's gonna be shit, you know. But then when he showed up, he was really, you know, like, oh right, this is nice, this is cool, very good. And I was like, oh shit, he likes it, you know. So
wow.
He was a really respectful and humble guy, you know. So
yeah. Oh well, that's good. So that was a positive experience then, working with him.
Yeah, he was really good, really nice guy.
Yeah, I guess if the pressure's on, if you think that, you know, he's been choreographed by Lau Garlung and, you know, for all these like legends in the past.
I was thinking, who the hell am I? I was thinking, I can just imagine if I was in and then I'm showing up and what was I, 28 or something, you know, and I'm going to choreograph for him, you know. I was like, whew.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, you're a pretty good fighter. You didn't do too badly yourself.
I mean, out of the stuff that you've done, what do you really like that you rate really highly out of the work that you've been involved in?
I mean, I like Ninja 2 was pretty okay.
Ninja 2 is a fantastic film. I mean, that's... and, you know, you worked with Scott. That was the first time you worked with Scott Adkins, wasn't it?
Yeah. A boy I'm pretty proud of, actually.
Sure.
I saw it in Bulgaria when I was there last year.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud of that movie. I think the fans are going to like that movie, to be honest.
Do you like what? So since Ninja 2, you've worked a lot with Scott. Are they just personally, that's quite a rewarding process for you? That's a good working relationship that you have with Scott? Do you two work quite well together?
Yeah, we've become good friends, you know, and he often calls me if there is a job outside of America or something. He often gives me the call, you know. So
he's calling. So he's very much like, I know this guy Tim Mann, you want to get him involved as a fight choreographer, get him on set. He's the one calling you to these movies then, is he?
When he's doing a movie, I'm not all the movies, but if I think the movies that if it's in Europe, he will he has been recommending me quite often, you know, like taking me in, you know, and that's because he says he wants me, you know, so that's very nice, you know.
Yeah. Ninja 2, I mean, you had quite a prominent acting role in Ninja 2 as well. You were one of the main villains of the film. Was that did you like that, being, you know, in front of the camera like that, or did you find that quite uncomfortable?
I didn't want to do it, to be honest. They made me do it, and I was doing the fight choreography. I mean, if I don't mind it to be in front of the camera, but if I'm handling the action, I want to focus on that, you know.
Yeah.
But somehow they made me do it, and yeah. It's not the first time, you know. I think almost all of Scott Adkins or Isaac's movies, they put me in somewhere in the movie, you know. Even though that I don't like it, and I tell them that I don't want it, you know, but somehow they managed to put me in, you know.
You've got a role in Boyka as well, that you're in front of the camera in Boyka.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that either. Yeah.
Okay. Do you get why don't you like it? Why don't you like it, Tim? Is it just that you just get do you get a bit nervous, or do you just like you just don't want you don't like seeing yourself on screen?
No, because I'm doing the action, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I don't like doing. I mean, I like to focus on. If I'm doing one thing, I want to do that, you know.
Sure. Do you find it a bit of a distraction then if you've got to act in the film as well?
I don't know. I don't know why I'm like that. I like to focus on one thing. I mean, if I'm for Boyka example, when I was in front of the camera, I have to. I'm choreographing, you know, so I'm choreographing Scott, I'm choreographing the guy with me. It's a 2-versus-1 fight in Boyka. So I'm choreographing Scott, I'm choreographing Andy, and myself, of course, and then I have to run to the camera and to the monitor and look if it's okay, you know, and then I have to talk with the cameraman how to shoot. I mean, it's a lot of things to be involved in as you're in the fight scene, you know, so it's a lot of running around, you know.
Yeah, and then if you're worried about, you know,
and then I have to look at myself as well, you know.
Yeah,
like, oh, shit, that looks like shit. Let's do another one.
Sure, but you must, because there's not many people who can do the kicks that you can do. So I'm just looking at it from, say, a director's point of view. They're probably like, well, we've got a guy here who can do all of these amazing moves. Why don't we get him in front of the camera? You can see the logic there, though. You can see why they would choose you to do that.
Yeah, I understand that they needed an extra guy that could fight, but there are others, you know. I mean, it's not like there's not, I mean, it's a big world, you know, there are a lot of talents out there, you know.
Let's talk about Eliminator. I saw Eliminators the other day. The fight scenes with Wade Barrett, I just because of Wade's background as a professional wrestler, I noticed that you were obviously incorporating a lot more wrestling moves into his fight scenes, particularly the second fight scene that he has with Scott. Is that something that you, I guess that's an example there of using someone's talents and what they're known for as well to the best of their abilities, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have any experience in front of the camera when he did that movie. I think that was his first where he did an actual fighting on screen, and that's very different from doing it in the wrestling, you know.
Yeah,
because when they do that, it's big moves, and when they get punched in the stomach, they jump and everything, you know. So I was looking through what, I mean, when they told me who's going to be in the movie, I was checking. I mean, I've heard of him, but I'm not a wrestling fan, so I didn't know his moves, you know. So I was just watching what he could do and stuff, and then, I tried to incorporate what he was good at, you know, and transition it into the screen, you know.
Yeah. Was he quite receptive? Was he quite easy to work with?
He was a real nice guy, very open, and he worked hard for it. I mean, in the beginning he was, I mean, like I said, he was used to wrestling, so it was, I mean, wrestling show and screen fighting is two different things, you know. So I had to take him down, I mean, take down his big motions to smaller motions, and had to work on those kind of things, you know, make it look more realistic and not so theatrical, you know.
Yeah.
So that was the challenge with him, but he snapped it up pretty good, you know. So
as a fight choreographer, you must have to have a knowledge of so many different styles. I know you said you've done judo, you've done taekwondo. How important is it to have a very well-rounded knowledge of all martial arts if you're going to be a fight choreographer? You know, that's the most important thing, is it, would you say?
I don't know if it's the most important thing, but the more you know, the better the more tools you have in your luggage, you know, the better, easier it gets, you know. And I don't think it's necessarily you need to be know all the martial arts in the world, you know, but I think the most important to be a fight choreographer is to, tell a story with the fight and the camera and capture that, you know. You need to know the camera and some martial arts, you know.
Yeah.
Most important is to understand the camera movements and everything. It's not bad to know a lot of different martial arts, you know. Of course, you can't be an expert in all the martial arts, you know. I think you should have, in my opinion, you should be good at one at least, and then know a little bit of everything, you know.
Yeah, yeah. If there were people like looking, you know, at the, you know, the movies that you've been involved in and, you know, the career that you've had, and they wanted to get into martial arts movies, there's still, you know, people are still inspired by these films, aren't they? And they still, you know, really look up to the performers and, you know, the amazing choreography. They're still very inspiring. So I'm just wondering what advice would you give to, you know, any, you know, young kids like yourself there was growing up in Sweden, watching those Hong Kong movies. What advice would you give to a kid who wanted to get into martial arts films?
You should be always prepared. I mean, be the best you can be, you know, I mean, don't just go in there and think, don't come unprepared to and apply for a job, you know. If you're gonna go for a martial arts fighting role or something, be sure that you have the knowledge, you know. I mean, spend your hours, do your homework, you know. That was shit advice. Yeah. I don't know really.
I think it's focused,
train hard, and just go for it, you know.
Yeah. Tim, thanks for your time. Thanks for talking to me today.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Cool. And listen, best of luck with Axton. I can't wait to see Axton, man. The cast looks amazing. And Boyka, I've not seen Boyka either, but
you're gonna love Boyka.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Tim, thank you very much. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
There we go. That was Tim Mann there. What a legend. Very modest and humble guy. It was really great to talk to him. I do hope you enjoyed that. Go and watch Boyka Undisputed 4. It's out now on DVD, Blu-ray. It's also on Netflix. If you've got a Netflix account, it's there. Go and check that out. Make sure you follow Tim on Instagram. His Instagram name is TimMan79. If you do the Instagram thing, his website as well is called extremestunts.se. That's all one word, extremestunts.se. He's looking to move more into second unit directing, and I wouldn't be surprised if Tim ends up directing his own movies soon enough. So listen, I'm a really big fan of Tim's work. I will be sure to keep you posted on all the latest developments with Tim. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. The email address is hello@kungfumovieguide.com. I do love to hear from you. If you've got anything you want to email me about, then do drop me a message. It's great to hear from the Foo followers themselves. Let me know what you think of the show. That would be awesome. We're going to be back in 2 weeks' time with another episode of the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast. Okay, listen, thank you so much for your time, for your continued support with the show. Take care, and I will see you next time. Bye for now.